Welcome to the Leadership Now podcast with your host, Mary Belden McGrath, where community leaders share their successes, their obstacles, and their knowledge. Now here's your host, Mary Belden McGrath.
Hello to everyone who is joining us today, and some of you are going to see this replayed on YouTube. Driven Leadership, why we created the Leadership Now series, and it's actually been now 2 months that it's been going on. And we really were looking, and this actually started almost 2 years ago, just with a thought with, we wanted to bring in role models, mentors, people that we knew that are making a difference in everyday life to give us tips and tools, to give us hope and inspiration. And so we created a Leadership Now where we get to interview different people with different mindsets and to really bring this value to this community that we're building. And if you have missed any of our prior Leadership Now series, you can find them on our website, drivenleadership.com, and it will take you to our YouTube page. Sometimes what we do is we'll splice them into small segments with a lesson, or you can also find the entire full Leadership Now interview as well. So we have two different options for you. Next week, we're excited. We actually have a different time. We're going to start this at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Some people have given us feedback that the 11:30 doesn't always work, so we're going to play around with a couple of times. And we are excited because we're going to have Angie Larkin, who is the head coach for the women's golf team for Texas Christian University and has just been announced as the women's golf collegiate president for all of the women's golf for college. So she's going to be talking about the power of discipline and the focus on the process. So we want to welcome today Tiffany Schimmick. And, you know, just a little bit about Tiff. We met you, gosh, I was thinking back, I think it was like 2013. You were at Robbins Brothers, and Mark had brought Eric and I into just to meet with the leadership team. We were doing a presentation, and you were sitting at the table, and he said, I want to send someone to Bold. And you're like, I'll go. And you show up to Bold in everything that you do, and I've watched just the growth in you, Tiff, over the past 7 years, and it is mind-blowing because you are just the most authentic, hungry leader I know. And you look at yourself first, you give yourself feedback, and then you also give other people feedback. You push and challenge the status quo all the time. You're not ever willing to do anything half-ass. It's just like you will challenge, and you will challenge not for your teams, but also for yourself. You truly live that authentic leader. And so as we were talking about pivotal leadership, this is so brilliant for you because this is who you are and what you live. But before we get into that, just for our viewers, we'd love to hear just a little bit about who Tiffany is.
First of all, thanks. I'm excited to be here. I've been excited about coming and just getting the invite. Mary asked me as we started this morning, you know, how are you feeling? And I said, actually nervous. I think a few butterflies are good. So that keeps you on your toes. So my journey has been, I'm a career-focused person, have been my entire life, mostly in retail, sales, but really about people, kind of fell into my roles just by taking on projects and things like that. I've lived all over California, worked for some really amazing companies, and sad to say some of one of them isn't here today. It's where I got my retail chops. For anybody that knows Orchard Supply Hardware, that was one of my first jobs ever. I was there 12 years. It was where I got into training, got into people, leadership, those sort of things. And then I went to work at Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store that is fighting to stay alive right now in the world of craziness. And another amazing company. There's nothing better than a company that's all about love. Doesn't get better than that. And I was there 14 years, and it went by with the blink of an eye. And, the latter part of what's been going on in my career has been the recognition, and for myself personally, you know, to your point, Mary, really looking in the mirror and going, what's next? And what do I need to do to stay valid and aware of what's happening in the world. And so I kind of went way rogue and started going the startup route, which was not in my comfort zone at all. I failed drastically a couple of times, but the exciting part about it, which wasn't exciting at the time, but is now, is that I can reflect back on all of that. And it helps me realize I'll be okay. Like, I really will be okay. And there's very few worst case scenarios that ever pan out. So a lot about work, but I have an amazing family. I have a stay-at-home superhero who is my rock, and allows me to be as crazy as I am and has tolerated me for 25 years. God bless him. I don't know how he does it. And two amazing kids. I have a son who's in the class of 2020, dealing with the, you know, lack of graduation and events this year. And we just had a virtual graduation celebration for him on Sunday. And, you know, I think it was just like more of an affirmation for me of I've been dealing with it so much at work, what's been going on, and obviously at home too. But to get all of my family together, I don't know how many people were on there, some of his teachers, his first grade teacher, things like that, and to see them all come together at a time like this to celebrate, just more affirmation that, man, we're strong, you know, and we adapt and we do what it takes to take care of each other, and whether that be at home or in our working lives, at our businesses and with our teams, we do those things because it matters. My other son is 13, going on 25, and scary as ever. So,
and when we were talking, we actually started with just the family. You were reading a book called Love Strong, yeah. And you were talking about just part of your upbringing and understanding differences and learning how to pivot and how to adjust. And you made this comment that, you know, this was in the time of COVID. And in fact, before we get into that, so you are the Senior Vice President of People and Culture for Just Food for Dogs.
Yep.
And you were in this crazy growth cycle. In fact, you were opening up stores almost one a week, wasn't that something like that?
Oh, like five a week.
Five a week. Yeah. So it's just like all hands on deck. It's just stupid crazy. COVID hits and then everything shuts down.
Yeah.
So walk us through, because when you were saying in all this chaos, you said, you know what? I realize that we're all in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's even, you know, again, it makes sense in what's happening today in the world and just the last few days of what we're dealing with and what we're faced with and how we feel about what's going on. COVID, like all of us, it pulled the rug right out from all of us and just took us down this path that, you know, we joke that we work in Just Food for Dogs time, which is like dog years. So, you know, 1 year is like 8 years of work because we were moving at such a pace of growth, multiple channels across the country. And then COVID hits and there's literally about a week of the brakes being on just because we were all still in shock and what are we going to do? But I remember the date, March 13th. We sent the headquarters team home. Okay, it's work from home and we'll start working through this. And I was literally saying, I was creating policy. I was figuring out ideas. We were brainstorming every 20 minutes. And I'm not exaggerating. There was something new and all of you have faced that as well. And I literally just this morning texted somebody and said, we will look back on this and we will tell stories about it to help others grow because we will be able to know we made it through it. As there's a helicopter outside my house now for who knows what reason.
And you live near Burbank, right?
Yeah. Yesterday they started boarding up and kind of things. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll cramp fingers crossed. But the storm versus, you know, we're in the same storm, but we're all in a different boat was such a realization for me and my team and all of us, you know, executives and leaders, as we all started to kind of come together and figure things out, everybody looked at it from a different point of view. There was no way for us to put a blanket statement out and it be okay with everybody or everybody agree. There was no way to create a policy that covered not only the actions people should be taking, but how they felt about it. More than ever in my career, a real understanding of looking into, and this pivotal thing had, it came up in a couple of different scenarios prior to COVID hitting, but I really dug deep into it. And when you called me, I was like, that's what we need to talk about, is how these incremental shifts can make significant impact. And just by pausing for a moment, and I'm literally talking 30 seconds and rethinking something. We've all learned it over the years as managers, right? Don't send that email in the heat of the moment. Don't have that conversation in the heat of the moment. But we need to do it in how we take action as well. And I realized that as COVID hit, especially, is that that seemed like the right thing. It seemed like that's what everybody else was doing. It seemed like that's what the guidelines were, but it just may not have been right for each unit, each facility, each department. Obviously we had to have umbrella policies we had to put in place, but we also had to get deep into thinking about each individual. And to the point of, you know, we learned so much about our teams personally during this time. People who were more susceptible than others for reasons we had no idea about until this happened. People who were dealing things within their family or had people in their family that were, medical workers that we had no idea about. So the connection with our team, as stressful as it has been and sometimes completely overwhelming, has been amazing to be a part of. And it's hard work. You know, our business, although we were lucky to be deemed essential, I kept telling people, like, grateful to be an essential business, but man, it's hard work. Yeah. It's hard work to keep those doors open every day, to instill in your team being there and that you're protecting them and doing the absolute best you can, to the simplest of things. Wash your hands and wear a mask. Like, unless you were in the food industry, that's not something you did all the time every day. So behaviors and shifts and a lot of communication, a lot of communication.
So you go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, so pivotal leadership, what does that mean? What's your definition of pivotal leadership?
Yeah, my definition is literally incremental shifts to make significant impact. And I was thinking about how to get this across during this, and I was thinking about, so the difference between 211 degrees and 212 is boiling water, one slight shift. My son is learning to drive. If you want to know stress, you have a teenage driver. That's stress. If he doesn't look left before he makes that right-hand turn, that one movement can make a significant impact. Yeah. I thought about what we just did in space. We just launched two human beings, it's been a while, into space to connect with the space, whatever it's called up there, I forget. But literally it's a second difference and it would all be done, you know, months and months and years and millions of dollars with 1 second of difference. And so for me, I've just really been on this, how can I shift my thinking, my action, my behavior? Because I will get completely defeated if I try to go too big. Oh, I've got to change every behavior I do. I have to change every way that I've approached this. That's too much for me. I can't attack it that way. And I had two specific scenarios that had come up in my life that I really dug deep and paused longer than a few minutes and said, where can I shift? Where can I pivot the way I approach this and see if the impact is different? And it was different. And those were huge for me.
There was an analogy that I heard right, you know, when this whole COVID thing hit, and I brought it up before. I don't remember if I did it on this, I did it on another webinar I did. And it was the analogy of playing basketball. And when our forward motion, you think about the person that has the ball and they're going down the court and they're in that forward motion and all of a sudden they're blocked. And it doesn't mean that we have to stop or that we're stuck. We have a choice at that moment. We can pivot, we can shift, we have to adjust, we can pass the ball, we can do something, but it requires us to do the little incremental. And you were talking about the difference between the 211 and 212 degree. That is that we have a choice in recognizing what choice that is. So knowing you, Tiff, you're the one that just like, you'll take it on your back. Come on, let's go. When's been an example of where you went to pivot and you didn't bring your team on board, and what was the result of it?
I'm getting better at it constantly. You talked a little, and you know, for those of you who have spent any time with Mary, she gets to know you left to right, top to bottom, all of the above. And Mary knows my personal life very well. And I've learned to adapt so well because of my childhood, not the same school ever, moved all the time, didn't own, never lived in a house until I bought my own house. There was just a lot of movement, multiple marriages with my parents. And I've always attributed that to my adaptability as a positive thing. I'm going to absolutely turn it into a positive. But what it also can do is I will move quickly. Mm-hmm. I will take action before I've brought everybody with me, before I've got the buy-in, before I've helped others to see what this is even going to do for them, or even dug in and found out if they're even interested. I spend a lot of time now on the why, my own personally, for others. It's so important, and I've learned that lesson along the way. So even before I would have deemed it pivotal leadership or, thinking this way, that's where I failed. And, you and I have been down that road together where I needed your support in it, on projects and even getting driven leadership involved in different businesses I was at. And it's been because I'll move too quick, because I am too adaptable. And one of the things with this concept of pivoting and shifting, it's, I was singing again about it today, of what it allows me to do is to be more informed before I act. And that's huge. Like, that's so huge for me. And that might be 2 minutes of additional thought or conversation. It might be another week of putting something on pause, asking more questions, getting more people involved, and in my personal life as well. My husband and I are complete opposites of each other. That's how we work. That's how we do. But it can take a lot of communication to ensure we're on the same page, and I have to pivot my thinking to ensure I'm not moving too quickly. He's not a person who likes, he's not spontaneous by any means. And I am the epitome of spontaneity.
Right.
So that shift, that slight movement of not moving too quickly and talking to him ahead of time and giving him a couple of days to process, as long as I can keep myself patient enough, that's a shift that makes a huge impact on the other side of how we come to a decision, how we make a purchase. And in my team, it helps them come along with me. And I hope, that it also, especially with this team I'm working with now, they are ridiculously talented and brilliant and smart and driven and passionate. It's crazy. I'm so humbled to be a part of it, but I still can move very fast, and so this allows me, when I think of the pivot point, to go, okay, what can I do for them to ensure they're ready to pivot too?
Yeah. It's almost as if it's a reset. So a pivot, and I love what you say, the pause.
Yeah.
Because you can pivot and you can move quickly, or you can pivot and pause, yeah, reset, readjust, and make sure that your team is with you.
Yeah.
So have you created a culture of accountability within your team that will say, hey, Tiff, whoa, hold on a minute?
Yeah, I would like to say yes. I introduce myself on interviews. Hi, my name is Tiffany. I'm transparent to a fault. My team knows. They can stop me. They can halt me. They can put the brakes on. I need a day. I need a moment. I need this. You know what I also actually really like about where my team is, and not just my team, some others within our company too. They rely on each other. Mm-hmm. And we've really created and worked hard. It's hard now because especially we're doing it all virtually. Some of them I haven't seen face to face since that day, March 13th. They rely on each other to brainstorm, and you know, bounce things off each other even before they'll come to me, which I don't mind at all. Like, I love that they're looking to each other and going, hey, sometimes how do we pull her back maybe? But also that we've got a real collaborative thing. You know, that was part of this whole thought process is I worked for so many years to be consistent, to set expectation, to figure out how to be accountable myself and hold others accountable. But what I realized as I really started to own my own truth, and really being the authentic, real me, 150%, sometimes to a point that's nauseating to people, is that I was trying to meet an expectation and a consistency that I thought others needed or wanted of me. And that's why I wasn't, you know, feeling as if I was being successful or as if I was making impact. And what the pivot did, and again, for me, I looked at the pivot for myself. If I look in the mirror when that time comes and I take that pause, it's like three areas for me. And I'll share this that maybe others might feel the same. So the pivot for myself is I shift my self-talk.
Okay.
So from doubt, from fear, from being below the line, what I call being below the line, and anybody who is out there that may know me knows what that means, to solution, to leaning in on my skill that I have and how I can use it right now rather than be fearful of it, and to some joy. You know, joy is a constant for me of finding joy because I can go to the stress side very quickly. So where's the joy in this going to be? What is it going to be? I take it to the worst thing that can happen scenario because we get all these what ifs in our head. What if this? What if that? What if this happened? What if that, you know, thing, whatever. And what I learned after leaving Robbins Brothers after 14 years, and, you know, I had Robbins Brothers blue blood for sure, and I still have part of it in me. And going to a startup that I failed at. I failed. I was not the right culture. I wasn't mentally, emotionally prepared for that shift. And it was such a learning experience and hard at the time, but man, I'm so appreciative of it now. But going through that has allowed me and my husband, who was very fearful of me leaving a job of 14 years and the stability and, you know, all those things, we now know what is worst case scenario. And really, worst case scenario rarely happens. And if you take it there and bring it back and work backwards from there, you'll figure out that it's probably not going to get that bad. And then I got to take ownership for me. What part of this do I own? There's no way that a situation is happening, I'm having an interaction, a decision is being made with or without me, that I don't have some part of the ownership. Mm-hmm. And that for me was an example of a peer conflict that really helped me understand peer pivotal leadership and really hone in more on that thought process. Causes, if I can do those things, I have less stress, less frustration, and less disappointment.
Well, and I love what you just said, extreme ownership. So first and foremost, it's self-talk. So you have to be aware in order to pivot as a leader, to be an authentic, transparently, you have to be aware anyways. And go, okay, what's going on right now? What are my thoughts? What am I thinking? And then let me look at the worst case scenario. What mm-hmm. is the worst thing that could happen? Can I live with this? And then mm-hmm. taking extreme ownership. What part did I play? How did I create this? And there's a, Eric and I, when we train together, we'll look at situations when things go south, we'll go, what did we do to create that? Because a leader, we get the behavior that we actually set up. We tolerate, we expect it, we create it. And a lot of times as leaders, we're not even sure what we did, but to step back and go, what did I do to create this? And now how do I right set it, so to speak?
And that's hard because our ego can get in the way. our self-esteem can get in the way, you know? And what I will say for myself and, you know, for others is, even when you look in the mirror, this, you know, you take this for what it is, it doesn't mean you always have to admit it to the public.
Sure.
But if you're willing to admit it to yourself, then you can pivot.
Yeah.
But if you're not willing to admit it to yourself, and most of anybody who would be on this, I would assume, is the same. We're so much harder on ourselves than anyone else would ever be. So being able to own it and look at where could I shift is the start of all of it, is a beginning of really thinking differently.
So for those are listening, if you have questions, and I have one that's right here, would love for you to type out the question. If you want to get on here live and ask Tiffany the question, raise your hand and I'll make sure that I bring you in here. And I have a question right now from Ashley.
Yay.
What steps would you have taken when enacting the pivot leadership with a new team?
Yeah, I think it's a conversation about it first. And then, you know, the other part of this is, and this is kind of my step, so that's why. So for yourself, and your three steps could be different than mine, but mine are the self-talk, taking it to the worst case scenario, and the ownership. Ownership is key. And then for others, for me, it's asking why they did it the way they did it, why they didn't do it the way they did it, why did they approach it that way, why do they have that question, and then asking why again. Like, you gotta dig deeper, because most people will, you know, the scenario for me was a project that just completely fell apart. And if anybody on my team is out there, it wasn't any of you, because they're going to be worried about that. and I was very frustrated by it, but I sat on it literally for a day and said, how can I come at this a different way? And when I started asking why, it was because how I had given instruction, they didn't process that way. That was not the way their brain worked. So this person could not put it together the way I expected, and unfortunately wasn't comfortable in the moment to come to me and tell me that. So I have to build that. So for others, it's also be open to a better way for them. That's huge for me to think of that, to go, what do you need to do this? What can I do for you? And then instilling that ownership in them. And what this gives me when I'm doing that with my team is hopefully growth of the team, of the skill set, of the individual, for myself as well. I hope there's a level of appreciation for the dialogue, for the debate, for the agreeing to disagree sometimes, which ultimately it's really about trusting.
Sure.
Trust, trust, trust. So for a new team, it's having a conversation, and you can do it in lots of ways. It could be conflict resolution, it could be solution mindset, but if you're talking about pivotal leadership, it's about letting people know it's okay. It's okay to make shifts. When it doesn't work right the first time, we can try it again, guys. And you know, I recently read this article that failing, we all say fail fast. I say I fail forward with grace. I stick my foot in my mouth every day at least 10 times. You know, we talk a lot about failing as the measurement or the way to make us learn. And this article is saying that it's actually success is where people truly start to see. It's like the phrase, perfect practice makes perfect. So when you see it done right, you can continue to do it. But whether you use failure or success, I think for people to know it's okay to shift and pivot, they got to know it's okay to make a mistake. And that there's no repercussion other than discussion. So for a new team, you know, it's setting up that expectation or that dialogue of, we can talk about these things and you can come to me. And I use this phrase all the time. My team tells me I apparently have a lot of phrases as I'm getting older. I don't know.
The Tepiphanies.
Yes, the Tepiphanies. Yes, that's going to be my book, I guess. It's okay for us to disagree. Like, we can disagree and we can still be very productive and still have trust and respect for each other. And I think it's that foundation that's important in helping. And then, you know, for Ashley specifically, either with a new team, find examples where either you yourself have made a pivot and to Mary's point, one that worked or didn't, or where you've actually seen them pivot and they didn't even realize that's what they did. That's what I like to, you know, help my team recognize is when they've done these things that they didn't even realize.
So what happens if you have someone on your team that does not want to pivot and shift with you? Like they do not.
Yeah.
They're so like, and it could be that they're afraid. They like the old ways, but they, and they're strong. They're a great person on the team, but they don't want to pivot with you. What do you do?
I have learned to, I do have a lot more patience than I used to probably when we first met Mary. I firmly believe that it may take more time than with some than others. But I have never had a situation, and I'm not talking about like somebody who's just not the right fit at a company and, you know, sure, unfortunately they need to go be amazing somewhere else, to that point where somebody's talented, and they're just having a hard time with that mentality. It just takes more time. But I also don't ever let off on the accountability factor. We all have to play a part in this. We don't get to sit back and put our hands up and say, nope, not going to play at all. You have to be actively engaged in it. And I do hold my team accountable to that. Not only my team, I will say I hold anybody that I interact with accountable to that. We can have our moments. And I'll tell you, you've probably had as many as I've had in the last few weeks. It's just been moments where I just want to throw it all out the window. I'm over it. But we can have that moment, but we got to come back to the table. And I don't let somebody have that option. And what I mean by that is they've got it in them. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They wouldn't be a part of what's going on if they didn't have it in them. And again, I'm separating a performance issue or something like that. But if it's engagement and fear and drive, that's where you got to dig deeper and find out why.
So when you were talking about the book, Love Strong, how does this apply to pivotal leadership?
Well, I want to clarify, the book is actually on pre-order because it's just coming out, but I listened to the podcast of the person who wrote it. So I do want to clarify, if you're looking for it, it's still on pre-order. How it works for me is my personal journey. Prior to knowing what a brand statement was, prior to knowing philosophy and owning my authentic self, I have been saying, you know, I was 17 and a half when I moved out of the house and got my own apartment and I was working full time. I didn't go to college till later in my life because making money was, you know, way cooler than sitting in some economics class, right? And what I have done in that time through that journey though is realize how loving strong and being loved, more importantly for me personally, that pivot of thinking, of not being a victim, of not being a blaming person, of not putting that energy on someone else, and just, and for me, my mantra way before all of that was change the cycle. Mm-hmm. Change the cycle. My son just graduated from high school. He went K through 12 through the same school. That's a big deal for me, for somebody who didn't go to the same school. The fact that, you know, his dad and I are together and annoying him for many years of his life is a big deal to me. The fact that I own a house is a big deal to me. So Love Strong, that, you know, from what I'm looking forward to getting the book, how it applies is shifting the, and I'll, you know, I'll read more. I can't wait to read more about it. But for me, it's the loving, you know, love doesn't always have to be this gushy, mushy thing, right? Love is loving who you are, loving and being loved as who you are, loving the work you do, maybe not every day, but most days, loving the people around you. You know, I make this statement where I say I work with wickedly brilliant people who on most days don't drive me crazy, but that's because we're human. We're just not perfect. And love comes in a lot of different, you know, it looks a lot of, it has a lot of different forms. So love all of it. love when you have a great pen that you can write with every day. I'm addicted to these pens. My team buys me them all the time. I love these pens. And take appreciation for those things. And sometimes it's the simplest of that kind of thing for me personally that can pivot my thinking for the day. I start out frustrated. I start out with an email or a text, you know, at 6:30 in the morning, you know, 5:30 this morning, our VP of operations and I were checking in on the boarded up stores and had there been any damage last night. And man, that's a lot to take in before you've had your cup of coffee or for me, a cup of tea. And then I walked outside and I have a beautiful backyard thanks to my stay-at-home superhero husband who has a green thumb. And I just breathed it in, you know, and thought, okay, today's a new day. So that's what it is for me. I tie the love into not so much just the lovey-dovey, but loving the moment, loving the win, loving a communication with my team, a quick text, a joke, a laugh. Even when we fail, sometimes we love those moments because we go, all right, time to move on.
That's how we learn.
Yeah.
In the fail, fail forward, fail fast. That's how we learn. If we just go after it and it works brilliantly the first time, we never learn. We never learn what we could be. And you talk about loving strong, it's and how the examples you're giving, it's really about gratitude.
Yeah.
At the core.
Yeah.
And looking at all the facets of pivotal leadership, it has to start with you.
Yeah, it has to.
Yeah.
In anything you do, for yourself, for your family, for, you know, your neighbors around you, for the better of the world, for your business, for your teams. And like you said, we influence, you know, anybody on this call, you're an influencer without a doubt. How you walk through those doors, how you hold that virtual meeting, how you hold people accountable, how you figure out metrics, how you're showing the data from what you're doing, how you're interacting with customers, you're influencing that. And that's also what I think about, you know, when I say for others, the pivotal leadership, I hope what I do, even though sometimes, you know, my team will have to rein me back maybe, or my peers rein me back. I hope what I'm doing is showing them they can pivot. I mean, that's what I'm hoping, is that they see it's okay to pivot and it doesn't compromise your integrity. It doesn't compromise your consistency as a leader. It doesn't compromise. It shows that you're able. And that gives people peace of mind and they feel good and then they're ready to do it themselves.
So, as we're getting ready to wrap this up, if anyone has any last minute questions, please answer them. I'm going to pull up our last poll. It's just on feedback. Where did it go? Because we believe all feedback is good feedback. And with this as well, if you want to be on this, and I am putting together a list of people who have said, hey, I'd love to be an interviewee, a guest. If you know someone also who you would go, this is an amazing person to be on this, let us know. But for you, Tiff, what's the message that you want to get out to this world? So this is your time. What's on your heart? What do you want people to know?
We're all stronger than we think. My latest that I had, you know, you and I have had a conversation about is, and this won't apply to everybody, but be needed. And accept being needed by your family, by your friends, by your teams, and not just in the full leadership role or, you know, that hierarchy type of thing, that they need you for different things. They need you for giving to them where they don't have something and you need the same of them. And I think that's the kind of the part of my journey I'm on right now, is understanding and accepting being needed in lots of different forms, and then really pausing to look at what I need from others and how I can get that.
And it goes into, everyone wants to be seen. We want to be heard. We want value, even what's going on now. And it goes into, we all need to be needed.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Yet yeah. How do you also create that support structure around you?
Yeah.
Tiff, I absolutely love you. I am so grateful for you. I'm grateful for this time. I'm grateful for your friendship, for your mentorship. I learn so much from you all the time. and so thankful that we get to walk arm in arm throughout, you know, this life in the different elements that we get to do.
For sure. Right back at you, even when I annoy the heck out of you guys.
Never, never, never. Well, next week, again, we have Angie Larkin on. It's going to be 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time as she gets into the power of discipline and absolutely focusing on the process. So until then, thank you for this time. Thank you for being with us. And have an amazing rest of your week. Love you, Tiff.
Thank you, guys. Everybody have a great day. Be safe.
Bye.
Bye.